Hello, listeners. Jordan here. I just want to let you know that you can listen to Nighttime early and ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
You are listening to Keep Canada Weird, a weekly weird news roundup by the Nighttime Podcast.
Hello, listeners, and welcome back to the weekly Keep Canada Weird discussion series. If you're new here, in Keep Canada Weird, my good pal Handsome Aaron Airport and I seek out and explore some of the more offbeat Canadian news stories from the past week. In tonight's episode, which we recorded during the evening of July 13th, 2022, we discuss Toronto's online dating blacklist. We talk about drones above Canadian prisons, and we break down a duo of what the F stories about animals, deer and cats specifically. So let's get to it. Handsome Aaron Airport. It's July 13th. How are you doing today?
Oh, July the 13th. Oh, is there any significance to this date?
No, the 13th is always kind of cool because it reminds me of Friday the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
But Wednesday the 13th, not as interesting.
No, I don't think so. Just the way you said it, your tone, and it was like, it's July the 13th.
I think I'm just feeling kind of fortunate to be here after everything that happened over the last weekend. Friday and Saturday, Rogers, Interact.
Oh, yeah, it had minimal effect on my life.
Really? I thought the entire country was crippled.
I went to McDonald's to get a coffee, and their debit was down, but I fortunately had some cash, got my coffee, and that was the only circumstance that I ran into that was affected by the outage.
I tried to call a friend that I really wanted to talk to. They had Rogers, no way to get hold of them. That was an issue. What else happened? Yeah, I think that was the only kind of complication. But fortunately, that friend will be getting a 5-day prorated refund from Rogers. Have you heard what they? What
I heard that Rogers will be offering
5 days. People aren't very happy about that.
Why not?
Well, what if like it's one thing if you're like if you're thinking that the only thing each individual subscriber has lost out on is their day or two of service. And for anyone who doesn't know what we're talking about, Rogers, which is a major Canadian telecommunications company, had an outage that lasted Friday and Saturday most of the day, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and part of the day Saturday.
So not only did people's phones not work, some people Interact, which is like paying with your bank card right across the country, was down.
Yeah, it was down because of it.
So if they're offering 5 days refund or whatever, that's kind of them saying that the only thing people are out is their phone bill for those couple days. But let's say if you're a small business owner and you didn't have Interact for a full day, you'd think that'd be a pretty substantial.
Yeah, I think people in those circumstances, like, getting a 5-day refund is like, you know, that's great for the ordinary customer who just use it for, you know, streaming Netflix and checking emails and, you know, maybe some social media or whatever, general internet surfing.
5 days is like, you're talking like $7 or $8 probably, like something like that kind of money.
Yeah, maybe it should be more than that. I don't know. But I mean, also, I think people who are financially affected in the sense of a small business having their Interact down for 2 days, those types of circumstances, they should be able to apply for a more significant refund.
Yeah, but there was also some big things affected. I think there was a concert in Toronto that was canceled.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was like Drake or something. It was like a major performer. They had to cancel the concert. And
well, here's the thing, though. Like, how reliant are we letting ourselves be on access to internet? Like, you should be able to be prepared to operate whatever you're doing with nothing connected to the internet.
I get that, but I think it's what's going to happen. It looks like regulators are stepping in, and this is kind of this whole incident and our reliance on, you know, one provider for Interact around across the country. That's obviously a problem.
Yeah, I think that shouldn't be, you know, allowed, like one provider, you know, monopolizing All debit machines
Yeah,
is
it's but I think something's going to change as a result of this because a lot of we're talking about a lot of money. But either way, it luckily we don't run small businesses. Luckily, we survived it. We didn't need to call 911. And people who had Rogers, if you had an emergency that day, like that time that I had the kidney stone and I had to call 911, something like that. If you had a Rogers phone, you're going to next door to bang on your neighbor's door, hoping they're with,
Hoping they have a
Telus. Yeah,
landline.
seriously.
Yeah, no, it's that's the thing. Like it's a little unnerving when and I mean things like that are going to happen every now and then. Like if you offer a service once in a blue moon, there's going to be an issue with that service and it's going to go down. And then if we're so reliant on that one service to do absolutely everything, then we need to be cautious of that.
Well, we made it. Other than that whole charade over the weekend, what's new with you? Anything going on?
It's been very busy. I just had a show open last night, a show that I wrote and directed, so that was exciting.
Congratulations.
Yeah, so
Opening
that
night.
takes opening night. Yeah, it was exciting. So I was there, a little nervous, you got the jitters and you're kind of hoping it goes okay, and it did. So I was happy with it. And then now my plate's a little less full now. I can focus on some other things like talking to nice friends over the internet.
Yeah. Well, as a director versus your time actually on the stage, is it weird like to be off stage and watching the people do your thing? Like that would I feel like
Oh
that'd be weird.
yeah, it's like what's weird about when like not specifically like when you write a show and watch it, like you're hoping that, the jokes get laughs and you're hoping that the story gets told in the way that you envisioned it. But as a director, like when you're up there watching it and the performers are up performing it on the stage, there's nothing you can do like if something starts to go wrong. And like when you're on stage as an actor, there's lots you can do. You're the one handling it. So if somebody misses a line and you know what that line is, you can improv a few things to get everybody back on track. If something malfunctions, you can think on your feet and you say, okay, well, I'm supposed to do this, but I can't do that anymore, so I'm going to do this instead. But as a director and you're out there just watching the show and you're seeing something happen that is not supposed to happen and you don't know what the actors are thinking, all you can do is sit there and watch and watch it happen. And the audience doesn't know something's wrong, but you do because you've seen it a bunch of times and you directed it. So it's like there was one point in the show, because like it's a musical show, so there's all these, the performers are playing instruments on stage as well. And there was a point in time where one of the characters came from backstage and grabbed the acoustic guitar off of the stand and then scurried back off stage again. And I know that's not supposed to happen. And I'm like, something is wrong. And a few pages coming up, there's a song that the acoustic guitar starts the song on. So I'm like, they've only got about 2 minutes to do whatever it is they're planning on doing right now. So I guess what happened is the battery ran out on the guitar in the last song, and the sound person noticed.
Oh, thank gosh.
So they went and whispered, backstage, "Hey, go get that guitar. I'm going to try and replace the battery backstage. Go grab it for me." And that's what was happening. So while I was like, crapping my pants in my seat, wondering what is going on with this guitar, the sound person was like, "I'm just going to change the battery, hand it back to the actor. They'll run it back up and it'll be there on time." But I didn't know that.
Yeah, of course.
So I was freaking out. I'm like, "Oh, we need that guitar for this next song. It's like a big instrument in that next song."
All right. Well, you made it through opening night. Hopefully, they're on stage killing it right now as we talk. But let's get to the task at hand. We have a mandate here to keep Canada weird once weekly. We weren't able to do it last night because of what we just talked about, the opening night of your play. Tonight, Wednesday, the 13th of July, we're going to take care of it. And we got a lot of weird stories to keep the country weird with. We have the, I guess we'll call it something like the Better Business Bureau of dating in Toronto.
Yes.
We are going to talk about drones above Canadian prisons. We have a WTF story about deer and a WTF story about cats and maybe Manitoba's worst or stupidest driver.
Mm-hmm.
Think I summarized that all right?
Yes, it was wonderful.
Thanks, buddy. Where are we going to start this? Tee us up.
Okay, let's start with the driver.
I wonder if this should be a crime in Canada.
Maybe.
It is.
This week in Crime in Canada.
You hear of stories like this happening on occasion, but this one is especially stupid because of how quickly this one driver made the same mistake twice.
Mm-hmm.
The headline of the article is Manitoba driver caught speeding twice within minutes. And this is a July 9th article. A man had to find out the hard way that speeding is illegal, and he had to find out twice. It started on July 8th at 2:20 a.m., middle of the night, early morning. We've had this debate about whether 2:20 a.m. is late at night or early in the morning.
Mm.
But whatever it is, that's when it starts.
It depends on what you're doing.
Yeah, and what kind of lifestyle you live.
Yeah, exactly.
Manitoba RCMP stop a man going 130 kilometers an hour in 100 kilometers an hour zone at 2:20 a.m. in East St. Paul. After getting a $442 ticket for that offense, that same 34-year-old was caught going 159 kilometers an hour in a 100-kilometer zone 10 minutes later in the RM of St. Clements. I don't know what the RM, regional municipality of St. Clements must be. That second ticket was $822, and the accused, that driver, now faces a serious offense notice. I don't know what that means. I think in the Nova Scotia motor vehicle stuff, I don't think we have something called a serious offense notice, but
I've never heard that term.
I think what it may be the equivalent to in Nova Scotia, if you're a certain amount over the speeding limit, it's a more serious offense, like could be called like stunting.
I
think it's something similar to that. What's interesting with this story is the Manitoba RCMP posted screenshots of the tickets highlighting the time, and here's what they post it. And this maybe gives a bit more info on what actually happened. Their tweet says, "What shouldn't you do immediately after getting a speeding ticket? You shouldn't tailgate the officer and then blow by him at 159 kilometers an hour. The 34-year-old driver was ticketed for going 130 in the 100 zone at 2:16, then again at 2:26 a.m. for going 159 in a 100 zone.
159 is pretty bad. I mean, I see people do 130 all the time on the highway.
Yeah, 130 is not crazy. Because I find on the highway, if the speed limit's 100, everyone's going like 110, 115 for the most part. Going 159 in a 100, that's like dangerous flying at 3 in the morning almost.
Yeah,
but anyway, what's this guy's problem? Just a
really
bad night?
What's his problem?
His problem is financial, I guess.
His problem is time. He's short on it.
Yeah.
I really wanted this article to reach out to said individual and ask him, after getting a speeding ticket, even the most brazen driver would be cautious. After getting that ticket, at least for a few days. But
yeah,
this person's like, I know he just gave me a ticket, but I'm going to speed even more.
I am not done here.
I'll show you.
But I wonder if the first speeding ticket upset him enough that he was, just being a little crazy, gets the second one. But they're lucky he just didn't explode after the second one. That's a lot of money within a 10-minute period.
And it's not just that. It's the points on your license, too. Like your insurance is going to go way up. And
what a clown.
There's a lot of angles, of punishment to speeding tickets.
And you're in the news, although not by name. Like you said, it'd be interesting if they reached out to them, but it seems like...
Yeah, like with that, with an article like that, I would really want to know, like, okay, we get the first one, you know, people get speeding tickets all the time, and 130 is not an outrageous... It's definitely justifiable to ticket somebody. You're going 20... You're going 30 above, you know, the speed limit, but only 20 above the kind of, you know, unofficial speed limit, you know. But to then, you know, turn around and go right away at 160, whatever it was. Like, there's got to be a... I can't see that being anger. I can see that being... This person's got to be somewhere. Maybe it was an ambulance that just forgot its sirens.
And it's all a misunderstanding.
And it's like, no, no, just I left my sirens at home. Now I'm in an ambulance.
No, you tell it to the judge, buddy.
Yeah. Mondays.
All right. Hopefully that guy's day got better. He should have.
Or depending on the person, hopefully it got worse.
Yeah.
If they're a piece of trash.
Yeah, that's a good point. And maybe they are a piece of trash. But if they were a piece of trash, and they moved to Toronto, Ontario, and they started looking for a mate online, how the hell would we know about them? They could just be going from one dating app to another dating app, speeding, causing a ruckus.
Mm-hmm.
And how would they ever be found out? Any ideas?
Oh, there's a way.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Microsoft Excel.
Plus Facebook group.
Plus a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah. So that is my clumsy segue into the next story. And I really like this one. A couple articles were going around about a Facebook group that is quite interesting and blowing up a little bit, both on Facebook, but also it seems like it's kind of spun off into people making TikTok videos based on the contents of this Facebook group. The Facebook group is called Unhinged, and it sets out to be almost like a PSA, like a public service announcement for women in and around Toronto about specific men that are problematic and are using dating apps, which is probably pretty necessary. So I'm going to read you a little bit of, I think it's a CP24 article that covers this, and we'll talk it out. The headline was Toronto Women Turn to Unhinged Dating List to Suss Out Problematic Men. The most sought after place that people in Toronto want in on lately isn't a swanky new venue, but a private Facebook group that's said to have a spreadsheet listing names and details of problematic men in Toronto's dating scene. In a TikTok video that went viral over the long weekend, a Toronto woman says, "I'm never going on a date again without checking if he's on the Unhinged Toronto database of toxic men." Another TikTok about the database went viral, this one from a woman who said she's the group's administrator. The woman calls the list a public service announcement for people in case they come across these people listed on any sort of dating app. The Star is not naming the women over concerns for their safety. The group, called Unhinged-Toronto Dating Reviews, has been around since January. As of Monday night, it listed a couple of hundred names of Toronto men, ages ranging from 20 to 60, and includes a spreadsheet on women's recollections of their encounters with them, either through dating apps or in real life. Some women shared stories anonymously, and although most didn't. In many cases, women have shared similar stories about the same men. The spreadsheet also includes some photos, screen grabs from dating apps, and detailed descriptions, including what the men look like, how they behaved, the places they frequent. Some are referred to simply as their first name, and others as John Doe. The article goes on to describe the journalist trying to contact the group administrators or members of the group for comment, but it seems like the administrators have declined to talk to the press and even made posts in the group asking its members to not go to the press and to keep the point of the group on warning women about these men and not about you know, notoriety for the group. What do you think of a group like this? You've used online dating. I've never used it, but you've been there. Is it good for people to know about this stuff?
I can see there definitely being a value to this. You know, especially, you know, for females who are on there who just, it's probably a nice sense of security, you know, to in that area, specifically in Toronto, where if you're about to go on a date with somebody, to not see their name on that list is probably at least a little bit of reassurance that, you know, this individual isn't a reoffender of some kind of a creep of some kind. That's, you know, and yeah, so I can see that. Like, it's my perspective from online dating would be quite different from, you know, a female's perspective of it and what they encounter, you know, would be different from me, you know? So I could see if I were someone who was, you know, going out to meet essentially a stranger, you've chatted through the app, maybe you've exchanged phone numbers, but you've never met this person in real life yet. There is a certain amount of, you know, risk to that. Yeah. And having some way to kind of at least see if this person is someone who's been flagged before, I could see being very helpful.
Yeah, well, I think like the idea of Googling someone's name is good. The problem with it being in a private Facebook group, in a spreadsheet within that, is if you Google their name, it's not like it's going to, you know, connect with this Excel sheet. So
you have to be allowed into the group to see it, right?
And then manually search, which is a lot of work. And in a big city like Toronto, it says there's only a couple hundred men on this list. I'm sure that's a very small sample of the amount of creeps.
Not dropping the bucket.
There's a few things I'll say about it. One is, like, I think a better way to do it would, rather than it be a Facebook group, would be like some kind of like a blog or something. So that way, if I search, you know, Jim Smith, Toronto or something, that blog will come up, you know, that blog post will come up in my search results. I think that's the better way if you wanted to actually use it as a PS, like a public service announcement sort of thing. But I fear with a group like this is almost like the whole vigilante thing where the claims.
Yeah, that's where you start to get into, you know, to. The gray area of this is, you know, who's policing it and who's, you know, like if somebody, I guess I don't really know how you kind of regulate, I guess, this kind of.
Well, Canada has libel and slander laws, which kind of regulate false defamatory statements, but like I guess someone, if you put something false on there, you could wind up in trouble if it was the wrong person, and if the person's kind of nuts, you're kind of playing with fire. But but I guess it could be done anonymously, which is I just when I see something like that, I would worry that it could very much be like just two people fighting, and this is a way that one person is kind of like getting back at the other.
Yeah,
person.
I think the idea of it is valid, you know, like having a way for someone to, you know, before they meet this person for the first time, to have a way to see, you know, if this person is a creep or not, or is someone who could potentially hurt them, or someone who's, you know, I think there's got to be a way to do it that's maybe not specifically this way, but maybe this way could launch an idea from someone who has a better way of doing it.
Yeah, but I think there's definitely a need for it. And I don't know the dating apps, but they don't have like a review kind of thing built in like an Uber driver would or something like that.
So no, not in that way. No, like I'm sure you could contact, you know, the app itself,
but the app also probably doesn't want to advertise the fact like this guy has gone on 7 dates here and he hasn't found anyone yet. Like our app.
No, you don't see any of that, and nor should you, you know, like, and some people, you know, maybe don't go out on a lot of dates from the app for different reasons other than, you know, not being successful at it. Maybe they're just picky here. Maybe
I realize how many kind of horror stories with online dating there is when I did an episode a while ago about people's encounters with creeps. And I just put an invite out. Like, if you've had an encounter with a creep, be it, you know, a weirdo you met online or somebody tried to, I don't know, approach you at your work or whatever, let me know about it. And I got so many people who were giving me stories about online dating where they just met the nutcases. I think, and then also it's like, I went on a spree of movies, like documentaries that often involved online dating. Like, I'm trying to pull the names of them out of
my head. Was that big one on Netflix a few months ago. What was it called?
One was called Bad Vegan, and that sort of was
an online dating thing.
But that's not the one you're thinking of. The one you're thinking of, people, and this is what podcasts do. There are people listening right now screaming,
who are freaking out right now. Yeah. Like, it's this one, you idiots.
But we both know what it is. It's like that guy who was oh my god, let's silence and think for a sec.
Yeah, this is good radio right here. Let's sit in silence and think for a second. That's what the listening audience wants.
Oh, the Tinder swindler.
That's it. Yes.
Yeah, that was really good, and that was like the opposite of an advertisement for online dating.
Yeah, and it's too bad because there's most of the people, you know, that are using online dating are there for the right reasons, you know,
to get laid.
And it's, if that's what love is to you, Jordan, then yes.
Let's not go there.
So, you know, a lot of people are on there for the right reasons, and hopefully, like, but I understand the motivation to want to start something like this, you know, from the other side. You know, I imagine that women are dealing with a lot different issues than I would deal with, you know, on an online dating app.
But I think we both agree then that there's society probably has a use and maybe even a need for something like this, but this isn't the way that it's going to happen. Someone will come up with a way to do this sort of thing. I'll be interested to see if more stuff like this pops up. I'm actually kind of surprised it hasn't yet. Where online dating now is so synonymous.
It's become the main way people meet now.
Yeah, and then the COVID and all this stuff probably only added to it. But we'll follow. I wouldn't say follow this story, but we'll follow this. I guess situation.
Yeah. I'd like to see it lead to a better way to do it.
Speaking of leading to things.
You really got the transitions down tonight.
Do you have a drone or ever messed around with a drone?
Explain to me how that connects to your transition.
You can use a drone to go places or bring things places.
Yeah, but you said speaking of leading to things. I guess a drone could lead to something. I don't think it leads to a good transition, though.
No. Our next story involves a drone that doesn't so much lead to things, but brings to things. I've heard of this before, and it's a very interesting problem. I'm going to read you the article rather than explaining the problem. But apparently this is something that happens in prisons all around the world, including in Manitoba. The article is "Drone Used to Smuggle Drugs into Manitoba Prison." An RCMP charged two men from BC. Two men from British Columbia have been charged after they allegedly used a drone to smuggle drugs into a Manitoba prison. According to RCMP, officers in Stonewall received a report of a drone flying above and into Stony Mountain Institution at 3:20 a.m. on July 3rd. The report added that a vehicle was also seen on a back road near the prison. Multiple officers responded and found the vehicle on Highway 7 near Provincial Road 321. RCMP stopped the vehicle and found a drone in the back seat. The two men inside the car were arrested. A search took place inside the prison where the drone was seen to have landed, and a package containing methamphetamine and what was suspected to be fentanyl were found. Employees at Stony Mountain Institution said they had seen a drone earlier and a similar package was found the day before. The next day, a resident also found a package in the area where RCMP had stopped the vehicle and turned it over to police. RCMP said that the package had a controlled substance inside, consistent with the package found in the prison, and was set up to be likely set up to be transported by a drone. 20-year-old Sharam Taki of Vancouver and 22-year-old Jalen Falk of Burnaby were both charged with two counts of trafficking methamphetamine and one count each of possession for the purposes of trafficking and possession of property obtained by crime. RCMP have said more charges are anticipated. The two accused are also facing further charges in Winnipeg. The Winnipeg Police Service was called to an Airbnb on Stradbrook Avenue on July 6 after the owner of the property found some concerning items. A search of the Airbnb turned up a firearm and a large quantity of methamphetamine, as well as additional drugs. RCMP alleged the two men were renting the Airbnb, but were unable to return due to being in police custody. The pair have each been charged with multiple firearm possession and drug possession charges as a result, and none of the charges against the men have yet to be proven in court. Both men remain in custody. So these fellas seem like they got a lot going on. But the idea of, like, the way prisons are built and designed and have been since mm-hmm. the beginning of time is the idea of, like, a wall that surrounds a space to prevent people from getting out or coming in. Yeah. But they've never, I don't think they account for things being able to fly. And a drone is like.
Well, yeah, the designs of prisons have relatively stayed the same for the most part.
Oh, well, it's all like it's the same thing that was, you know, mm-hmm. would have been built 500 years ago or even longer before that with a castle or whatever. It's like the same kind of idea. It's just keep the people from being able to get out. But a drone just puts such a spin on that. And drones, they're not that expensive. They're small. They travel a long distance. You can get the lights and stuff off them so that they're not that loud and don't, you know, aren't seen clearly in the sky. In most prisons, I would imagine, have like a large outdoor area where the prisoners get a certain amount of time, you know, each day to go out and walk around and do athletic things like play basketball mm-hmm. or whatnot. So if you wanted to get drugs in a prison, that's like, it's a pretty smart way to do it. I bet you that's how a good majority, that would be much less risky than putting drugs on you and going into a prison and like actually passing them to an inmate.
Yeah. I find this like, how would you not get caught doing this?
I'm thinking, how would you get caught doing this?
I'm the opposite. I see this as like just an easy way to get caught doing this.
Well, I think these guys, for one, they drove up to the prison. That's not necessary. And that was
no.
And like, let's, if they had the drone in a backpack and they just, you know, parked a kilometer away and walked, I guess it's all about, it depends on how much money they're getting for doing this, but they could park a kilometer away and just walk up with it in their backpack, fly the thing over without any lights on the drone and drop it wherever they drop it, walk back to their truck. They'd never be seen. Even the risk would be their package getting taken by the guards and stuff. But I'm assuming people who do, like, you know, trafficking methamphetamines and fentanyl and whatever, them losing a package here and there is probably not that big of a deal. I'm shocked that they get caught. I'm sure they get away with this all the time.
Well, they must get away with it enough to, you know, be doing it this often, but I don't know. I just imagine that if you do this often enough, the guards are going to see it. They're going to, you know, like, I don't know.
And remember as well, they did, this is at 3:20 a.m., which depending on your lifestyle is either really late at night or really
early. So they're dropping the package down into the prison yard.
Probably like early
morning when it's still dark out.
Yeah, I'm just guessing, like, maybe there's, you know, the prison yard, maybe there's like a bush or there's, you know, whatever.
How accurately can you drop something from a drone?
Super accurately, because you can It'll have a high-def camera. You could bring it right low to the ground.
Well, you bring the drone down, but the closer the drone gets to the prison, the more likely it is to be seen. Because, I mean...
But why would they be looking out in the yard at 3:20 in the morning?
Well, don't they have guards that are checking, you know, that their job is to, you know, be kind of keeping an eye on the perimeter of the prison? Or maybe I'm getting too much of that from movies where, yeah, you know, they have the spotlight going at all times.
The spotlight catches the drone. Then all the G.I. Yeah. Joes run out of the prison shooting at it. But it's, I think it's like, keep in mind how small a drone is. It's this tiny little thing with a, you know, just carrying a small brick of drugs or whatever. Like, they make a good amount of noise, but they're not crazy loud. If you don't have lights on them or whatever, like, it, I don't know. I think, I bet you it happens way more often than you think. And again, I think it would be much less risky than putting it on your person and going in there to see somebody and passing it to them.
Oh, yes. Definitely less risky than that. But, you know, I think people should stick old school with this and just come in with the, you know, come in with the baked, the cake, you know. And the
yeah, the cake has the cake. Like a file in the bottom.
Yeah, That's how I think they should always stick to that.
Yeah, anything should be that smuggled in or out of Canadian prison should be done in like a Nanaimo bar. Calling back to last week's episode.
Calling back to last week, yeah. I don't know why it struck me as I'm surprised that they get away with doing that as much as they do, because they must get away with it often enough that it's a go-to way to do it. Mm-hmm. But where they drop it, like, I don't know. It just seems to me that somebody else would, like, where can they drop it in the prison yard that someone else might not come across it before they do?
I can only imagine if there's like a bush, or maybe there's a little building that they keep all the basketballs in, and you can sit it on the roof and someone reaches up and grabs it, you know, something. But again, a drone would have a good camera, so they could even send the drone over and look around. But then they would be communicating with an inmate, and the inmate would work with them to be like, yeah, there's this bush, you know, drop it in the bush. Like, it's all planned out.
I planted the bush. I've been nursing it and growing it just for this. Nobody's asked any questions about why I put a bush in the middle of the yard.
Let's move on to, we have two lighter stories for the most part to wrap this up. I call this the WTF duo, WTF deer, WTF cats, because they're two weird stories. You want to start with deer or cats?
Let's start with the deer and end with this bizarre cat one.
Okay, the cat one is truly bizarre. The deer one is just a true what the heck is going on here.
Yeah.
RCMP in northern BC arrest a car's occupants after finding a baby deer in the back seat. RCMP say they arrested the occupants of a vehicle in Fort St. John in northern BC after discovering a baby deer in the back seat of the car. In a written statement, the Mounties say they pulled over a vehicle during a routine traffic stop in the early morning hours of June 30th and found a month-old fawn in the back seat. I'm just going to stop for a sec. Is a fawn, is that a female or male deer, or does fawn just mean baby deer, or do you know?
I thought doe was a female deer.
Okay, maybe
based fawn. Off of the song.
A doe.
Doe, a deer, a female deer.
Okay, so fawn must be a baby male deer.
Maybe.
Police said after arresting the occupants of the car for possessing wildlife, they searched it and found drugs, obviously, but did not specify what kind or in what amount. Under provincial law, it is an offense to possess a wild animal without a license or a permit granted by the province's chief veterinarian. The laws apply to both dead and alive animals. Two things there. I didn't know a province would have a chief veterinarian. That's kind of cool. Anyway, fawning season. I think this is going to explain why it's important not to do this. Fawning season is usually from May until early July, when the fawns become more independent of their mothers. The BC SPCA say that if you spot a fawn you believe is orphaned, it's best to just leave the animal alone, as it's normal for a doe to leave her offspring for an extended period to search for food. But if it's injured, or you can see that its parent is dead, it recommends calling the Conservation Officer Service, which can pick up the baby deer and transfer it to wildlife to a wildlife rehabilitational center. And as I'm reading, I'm realizing that a fawn isn't a boy or a girl. It just means a baby deer.
It's just a baby deer.
In reading between the lines in this article, it seems like maybe I'm trying to guess what these people with drugs in their car and a deer and baby deer in their car were doing. But based on that middle section of the article about if you find a deer you think is orphaned, I wonder if that's what happened. They found this like a lone baby deer and they're like, we're going to bring it somewhere and nurse it back to health.
Yeah, maybe. Again, I wish the article had kind of reached out to these individuals just to ask them a few questions to get into their mindset at the time of, did they just come across a deer and they were like, oh my God. And, you know, they just took it in for no reason. Or were they thinking they were helping the deer? You know, I mean, you have to be careful with wild animals. They are wild.
Yeah, they are certainly wild. And a deer, although a baby deer, I think is probably pretty harmless, but it's,
Deer are strong and, you know, can be aggressive from what I understand.
Yeah. Well, I have, I think I've told you about this, but my neighborhood, we have wild deer like crazy. It's not uncommon for me to look out my window and just have like six deer on my front yard eating my tulips, mm-hmm. Or in my backyard or walking in my carport. Like it can be kind of wild. I've gotten pretty close to adult ones, but they do scare me a bit. Just, I don't know what it would do to me. Even if a deer just ran full speed and just crashed into me, like it would be so violent.
Oh yeah, I know. That would be rough.
But you know what? Like a baby deer is so sweet. Like I would love to have one as a pet, but I get that there are reasons why people can't just like take a wild animal in their house and raise it.
Yeah. You can't do that.
But it would be awesome, right?
Well, I mean, you know, some animals are so cute that you just think, you know, wild or not, that you can just kind of go up to them and interact with them. Mm-hmm. But again, like even the cutest animals out in the wild are still wild and don't play by your rules. So, you know, they don't have a rack of Disney DVDs that have inspired their love for humans.
Yeah. You know? Yes, yeah. Don't put a deer in your car.
Yeah, haul the deer into your car. The deer is probably terrified. And
yeah.
I don't know. Just you know, if you see an animal and it's hurt or whatever, there's people you can call for that. You're not the people.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of a good transition. Here's one. There are laws to prevent you from taking wild deer into your car and into your home, probably for good reason. But do we need more laws like that? And are there other animals that should be regulated and controlled by our government? Namely, cats.
Mm-hmm.
Some people in Toronto think that they should be. In fact, Toronto is eyeing a new plan to ban cats from going outdoors unless they're on a leash. Sounds crazy, right?
No.
Well, I think it kind of does. Let me tell you a little bit about what's
going
on. I mean,
I think it's crazy that they're going to try and do this, but
with everything else that's going on in this world right now, this is it. If you love your cat, keep Fluffy indoors. These were environmentalist and former Scarborough City Councillor Glenn DeBarrowmaker's words to Toronto City Council Wednesday as a city committee discussed a plan that could prohibit cat owners from allowing their felines to roam freely outdoors. The motion, moved by Councillor for Ward 17, Don Valley North, Shelley Carroll, is rooted in the belief that outdoor cats can be a danger to the local ecosystems, hunting bird and rodent populations, and are themselves at risk of being hit by vehicles or attacked by wildlife while roaming. Currently, city staff are proposing bylaws be changed to prohibit pet owners from allowing their pets to roam at large in the city, with the exception of cats and domesticated pigeons. Carol wants to scrub cats from the proposed change. Oh, sorry, I missed that. So currently, city staff are proposing the bylaws be changed to... To prohibit? That's word it weird. So I guess right now, pets can't roam wildly unless it's a cat or a pigeon, but they want to scrub cats from the proposed change while still permitting pigeons to remain at large.
Yes. Yeah.
Under the proposed bylaw, cats would still be allowed outdoors, but they would need to be leashed. Members of council on the city's Economic and Community Development Committee voted in favor of the motion by a show of hands. I'm moving this motion today because I truly believe people don't want free roaming cats, Carol said. It is horrendously traumatic when you find a cat that has been met with misfortune. However, the bylaw change hasn't received final approval. It was not included in Wednesday's staff report featuring potential rule changes to the chapter of the city's municipal code dealing with animals. It would still need the majority support of council before it could go into effect. Council is scheduled to debate the issue in 2 weeks.
I get it. You know, I get what they're saying. Like my cat's an indoor cat anyway, so it wouldn't, you know, if that law ever came to my town, it wouldn't change my life. But you know,
I think
I don't know how they would do it.
Someone in Toronto, in a big city like that, even in the outskirts of Toronto, like I just feel like it, just letting your cat go wild in the neighborhood, it's not a great idea anyway, for the reasons mentioned in that article. Is, you know, hit by a car, killing the birds and all this stuff, that's a problem. But it's, I don't know, the idea that at this time in the world, government would, even a municipality or whatever, would tackle this as an issue. Mm. There's so much going on that it's just kind of like, let's just wait and deal with this later.
Let's wait until the next pandemic and then deal with it.
But I do.
Yeah, I don't know. And cats on leashes don't do as well as dogs on leashes. I mean, they have cat leashes. I don't have one because, again, I don't want to bring my cat outside, because the more comfortable he is with the outside, the more he's going to want to go outside. Right now, he's still fearful of it. And I don't want him going out because there's too many. I'm worried about getting him lost. There's foxes and raccoons and all these different things in my neighborhood that he could succumb to. I don't want that to happen.
Yeah, even in Toronto, there's a ton of raccoons and they're badass. Same with even their squirrels.
Oh, the raccoons in my neighborhood are giant.
Yeah, even I find in Toronto, one thing I notice is when you see, they have a different like breed or whatever of squirrels, and their squirrels are a lot bigger and they're kind of nasty. Even one of their squirrels, I think,
could do some damage. Oh, the Ontario squirrels are massive.
Yeah, and I think they could do some pretty good damage to a cat, I would think.
Yeah, there's just diseases out there for cats to catch, and ticks, and you know, all the different things that the dangers. Your cat will live a longer life if you keep it indoors.
Well, we'll see what happens with this. I think there's a just the idea, I think right now is just not the time for them to further regulate cats, but and it's weird that that pigeons are left off of that.
I was wondering about that, because do a lot of people have domesticated pigeons? I know Mike Tyson does.
Yeah, that, like I couldn't name one other person.
No, he was the only person who I thought did. You know, I'd be curious to see or know some kind of statistic about how many people keep pigeons as pets.
Well, enough to
beyond the books.
Yeah, enough to like advocate for their exclusion from that bylaw.
Yeah. It's mentioned. It's like, you know, pigeons and cats are the only ones that are allowed to roam free outdoors, but now it'll just be pigeons.
Well, we'll see what happens. Interesting, though. But we'll start wrapping this up. Before we do, though, Aaron, anything on your mind that you need, or anything you need to get off your chest?
Off my chest? No, I'm not angry at anyone, if that's what you're suggesting.
Okay, no, I'm glad you're not. Anything you're looking forward to from between now and when we next record, about a week from now?
I'm looking forward to seeing how weird Canada can get in this next week. Really, yeah. Give us our plate full next week. We want it.
Aaron, until next time.
Jordan, until next time.
Check
hold
that
on
site
tight. It's gonna
before
be
you
a wild ride.
I want to thank you for joining Aaron and I for our Keep Canada Weird discussion. But before we part, I have some thanks. A big thanks to Aaron for sharing an evening with me and with you, the listeners of Nighttime. A big thanks to the internet's favorite cult leader, Unicole, for supplying the intro and outro voiceovers. But most importantly, I have a massive thank you to everyone who listens to Nighttime, as without your interest and your support, this show would be as pointless as it would be impossible. But with that said, keeping the show alive is and has always been an uphill battle. So if you want to help take a bit of weight off the show's back, make sure you're listening on the premium feed. And not only does the premium feed keep the show alive, it'll give you more of each topic than you'll find here on the free feed, as I'm adding exclusive content regularly and I maintain a full back catalog of episodes only on the premium feed. So for about the price of a cup of coffee, help keep Canada weird at patreon.com/nighttimepodcast. And on the topic of the premium feed, let me thank the newest subscribers. Lisa, Nathan, Polly, and Michelle, thank you for going premium. And for anyone else who'd like to support the show but can't do it with a premium feed subscription, you can give me a big hand by simply sharing this episode on social media and letting some like-minded friends know what we're doing here. If you have any story ideas, if you want to give feedback on the show, if you want to let us know about something going on in your town, or if you want to contribute a voice memo for Aaron and I to respond to in a future episode, you can do all that and more at nighttimepodcast.com/contact. We hope to hear from you. But until then, take care of each other, hug your loved ones tight, and let us know if you see anything weird.
The Nighttime Podcast is written, hosted, and produced by Jordan Bonaparte. Copyright Jordan Bonaparte.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.